Hey everyone, it's Caddy. We are back in the cafe in September, and my gosh, we have someone we haven't spoken to in a long time, John Taylor. Hello. Hello. I'm a one woman welcome committee. How are you, JT?
I'm really well.
Oh, good.
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm trying to stay indoors today. It's not pleasant. It's pretty rough for the people of the Western States right now, and it's hard not to feel for everybody that's suffering right now. You know, for this whole layer of fire the fires now on top of what people have already been putting up with. It's really rough, but for myself, I'm grateful. I'm safe, and I just got back from 3 weeks in the UK, and it was the first time that I've been there since we went into lockdown in March. And I was in quarantine for two of those 3 weeks, but I really enjoyed it. I love living in California, but I got back to England, and what I love more than anything else is the air. There's something about the air there, and it's look up at the sky, and it's different. It's different to California. There's something about the sky you recognize. When you grew up, there's something about the way that the particular kind of clouds and colors, blue, and it was great to be there. Actually, it's great. So that gave me some energy.
Do you feel a sense of being home when you get back in England, even though Los Angeles has been your home for so long?
Well, home is such it can be quite a complicated idea, I think. I bounce between homes in the US and the UK. And actually, in lockdown, I thought, fuck. I've only got one home. I can only have one home. I just felt very connected, being sheltered in place in one place for a long time, sort of put me in touch with, the safe, a way that I hadn't felt in a long time. It felt like everywhere, just like, I guess when you do what we do, it's like everywhere you stay, it's like, You're out of a suitcase. Even when you're at home, your suitcase is like, is waiting there. They're waiting to be unpacked or packed.
Yeah.
And so I really got to unpack. I quite enjoyed that, really. I think going back to England, it's definitely, shows up a lot of stuff. But then I go back to Birmingham, and I'm like, oh, I want to go back to Birmingham. I want to get to Hollywood. I want to go back to Simon Road. I got this. The last day I was there, I had this urge, this real desire to, like, wake up in my old street, drive up there.
Yeah.
And wait and sleep in the car,
Yeah.
Bizarre. Just to have that, just to make that connection,
yeah.
with one's roots. But, It's all good.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I don't know how much fondness I look back on my childhood with, actually. But when I drive past my town or, there's that grab, It just happens. You don't think it will, but it does.
Yeah, well, I think it represents a certain sort of, if you're lucky, and you had the kind of upbringing that I had, I had two loving parents that were relatively functional, I kind of look back on it as a very uncomplicated period of time for me. So I think, anybody that's trying to be a grown-up in the world right now, you can't help but sort of look at, if you have that, if your childhood represents that for you as a sort of a simpler time, you can kind of look a little bit longingly towards that. But you know, of course, that's you know, that's what we that's not what we do as grown ups.
Right, right. And that's what we do as grown ups. So I'm with you on that. So, you know, we haven't had you in the cafe in a while because you were super busy with your bass tutorials. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, looking back, I know how much work it was for you, and I don't know if people really realize how much you put into those. And I just wondered if you expected them to really take off like they did, because they sure did.
I have no expectation for it at all. You know, it just seems like, you know, Becky and I were talking about it the other day. I think we started out of some like kookiness post that we did for her Instagram where I was playing piano. And I don't know, just a particular time in lockdown where, you know, I came to see how great it would be something that generated some connectivity, you know, at a time where we were all sort of, you know, struggling to connect, where we were all kind of cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and like the idea of a tutorial was definitely not on my, you know, not on my agenda. I'd never thought about that as something that I would like to do. And, you know, like anything, I mean, if you know me, it's like, if I'm going to do it, I'm really going to, I'm going to go all in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was, I mean, first of all, it was fun for Sheila and I. We were doing it in lockdown. She was the camera operator, script editor, makeup artist, wardrobe. It was, we were doing queerness. I think also, anything that gets me to pick up the bass is always a good thing. You know, there's, you know, I think, I mean, unless I'm working. And it was so great to really look at the songs in that sort of like super kind of listen and to revisit how those songs came about. And that was the biggest kick for me. It really hit the spot. They think it hit the spot. And, that felt good. It actually felt like, you know, that it was a positive little, you know, drop in the ocean, you know, that people enjoyed.
It was definitely positive. Were there, was there one song that you didn't have time to get to that if you ever revisit, you might want to do?
I had the next round sort of planned out. But you know what? Maybe at some point I'll get back to it. As you said, it was actually, it was quite a bit of work.
It was a lot of work for you.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about music lately and how you guys were in the studio and you sort of had to stop working. But in the interim, the band is releasing this white vinyl for National Album Day, which I think is at the beginning of October. And I just wondered if you guys participate in that, in the sense that the label says to you, you know, what do you think of this? Or you just say, okay, cool, to whatever their idea is.
Well, we always like to participate in National Album Day. The label that represents, you know, it has to, the early records came to us and said that they wanted to do this particular version of the first album. It seemed like, well, why not? I mean, I wouldn't say it's the most extraordinary, you know, release or, you know, festival that we did. Yes, we were in the middle of an album. I mean, you know, whenever you're in the middle of an album, you know, you never really know how far you are from shore. You know, and it's like, it really depends who you speak to. You know, you speak to one person, they say, yeah, I can see the shore. We're like, you know, a mile away. And somebody else, you'll say, oh, are you kidding? Oh, I think we're like 20 miles out to sea, right? I mean, in a way, In a way, the break was not a bad thing for us because we put down a lot of material in a short space of time. I mean, we know we've got the basic building blocks for the record in the songs that we've done with Errol Alkin and Graham Coxon. And mm-hmm. then we've got a couple of songs with Mark Ronson, and then we've got a couple of songs with Giorgio Moroder. So we kind of know essentially what the components of the album and what, you know, what's going to make it up. But yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, now suddenly there was not the urgency to finish it, you know, when we realized that, you know, we weren't going to be playing any shows this year. Suddenly it felt like, you know, what's the rush? And, you know, I was back in Los Angeles and, you know, there hasn't been that much going on. And I think that everybody's been, you know, doing their own thing, sort of sheltering in place and, mm-hmm. you know, not terrible, you know, not in too much of a rush to get back together in a small, you know, poorly ventilated room, you know, and start working on the music again. But mm-hmm. I think, I mean, you know, it's obviously down to, you know, what happens next year, and none of us really know, you know, with the spirit of positivity and hopefulness, you know, we've got shows on sale for next summer, and we're not the only ones, you know, a lot of artists are putting shows on sale for next summer.
Yeah.
Particularly in Europe. I feel Europe has a, you know, I feel that Europe could get there before the US, but, you know, we've got venues on hold in the US too, but I really don't think we're going to know until maybe even February whether the people anywhere, you know, but particularly, you know, in UK, mainland Europe, US, whether they're going to be ready to get back and gather en masse. I don't think we're going to know. I mean, obviously, it makes sense for us to put out an album, you know, at the same time as we are able to perform, if that's not going to happen next summer, then we're going to have to, you know, think a little bit harder about how we present the album when it comes.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, well, you answered one of the questions I was going to ask you, but if traditional touring does not become available, do you think you guys would start to be open to doing different kinds of live performances? I saw there was something in England where people, they weren't in cars, but they were like in little, sort of like seats you might be in a baseball game, but they had little gates around them. Did you see that? It was in England for sure. That was weird. It was definitely weird. It was like two seats with a gate around it, and then two seats with a gate around it. It was outside. It was definitely. Yeah. It didn't look very much fun. But would you, as an artist, be open to exploring other ways to perform live, or just it's traditional or nothing?
Well, you know, it's weird, isn't it? I mean, has there ever been a time where we could really use that, you know, we the people could really use the experience of getting together in a field, getting together in an arena, getting together at an amphitheater and just dancing together, smiling, laughing. I mean, my God, if ever we need it now, mm-hmm. you know, and the fact that, you know, that we're being kept from that, you know, it's such a shame, you know, I really feel, I mean, there's so much healing that's going to need to take place. You know, by the end of this year, you know, I would love to be a part of that. You know, I pride myself on the mix of that audience. We have the most beautiful, you know, balanced mix, you name it, you know, it ain't just little girls anymore, you know, and everybody comes. And everybody comes to have a good time, and I look out at that crowd and I just see all of humanity, you know, and you know, I would love to be able to again, you know, I think we are so going to be ready for that.
Yeah.
I really hope we get to do that. I'm less interested in the online experience, because for me, music is about being with, it's about the light on it, this shared experience. I hope we're gonna get to big speakers in amphitheaters and listen, on the one hand, yes, I perform, but I think for people, I think we need to have that experience. It's just one of the few ways that politics at the gate, it just doesn't matter. And everybody's just there, and we're all human beings just dancing to the same beat.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we're all one then.
Yeah, and I think we can need much of that as we can get. I hate to say all we can do is hope, but nobody really knows. And we will be watching and we'll react as best as we can.
So while we're waiting for new Duran Duran, recently we went back to some old Duran Duran, not too old, the 5-year anniversary of Paper Gods, and you wrote a great post about 5 things you love about Paper Gods, and I bet you can guess what people commented on the most, but in case you can't, oh, go ahead, guess.
No, actually, I purposely chose a few things that I thought might put a little cat among pigeons. Well, probably about the artwork.
No, it wasn't the artwork. It was about Brandon Flowers singing Sunset Garage.
Oh, yeah.
So that really got people going. Do you? Is there a double deluxe version of Paper Gods in maybe the 5-year future where that song would ever come out?
I hope so. I hope.
Yesterday I read about a movie called Shoplifters of the World, which is this new movie coming out about the Smiths, about their breakup, and it made me think about your musical with Nick. So I thought, well, as long as I'm going to be talking to JP, I'm going to ask him where that stands.
We've got Self-Searching on that side.
Okay.
Getting it into the stage, getting it to say you. Huge amount of work that we're what the hell we're going to do with it. We've got sort of different ideas about how we would present it to people. We're going to have to find a way.
If nothing more, you did it, right?
I mean,
that's an accomplishment right there.
Definitely.
So you're my entertainment guy, and I have not seen anything except kids' movies. So I just, before we let you out of the cafe, I wondered, what have you done any deep dives into, be it music or films or series, anything to recommend? I cannot recommend Mulan. It wasn't very good, I have to say.
Okay.
So you can skip that one. But what about you?
I'm going to throw into the ring is something that actually I've just started watching. It's on Apple TV.
Okay.
And it's called Ted Lasso. And it stars Jason Sudeikis.
I like him.
As an American sort of Midwest football coach who gets a job running at an English Premiership football team. And it is so funny. And mostly, it's interesting. He basically, he doesn't have a clue, but he's so positive and he's so kind and sweet and upbeat that it starts to work it against all odds. It's a really lovely premise. And I find, I usually like the darkest of the dark.
Yeah,
there's nothing we like more than a good missing children serial killer. This is just so we were crying with laughter. I highly recommend that. On the other side, you know, if you can access it, in the US it's on Stars, in the UK I don't know what it's on, but P-Valley is an absolutely amazing drama musical. It takes place in a pole dancing in a strip club in Mississippi, and you know, I forget what was the name of that. You know, do you remember that film about? It was based on a play. Robin Williams starred in it, about the gay couple that ran.
Oh, La Cage aux Folles.
It's kind of like La Cage aux Folles, like blown, like in the hip hop era.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It's an amazing, amazing show. Brilliant characters. Actually, we took to watching it with the captions on. You know, with the subtitles.
Oh.
You know, I wish I could be more in music. I mean, I've been like, wow, what have I been into? I mean, I've been listening to a lot of classical music. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of, depending on what I'm doing, you know, if I'm in the gym, I've got like Casey and the Sunshine Band, the Cool and the Gang, you know, I tend to listen to quite a lot of sort of 70s, 80s dance, sort of pop, R&B.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not too much that is, yeah, you know, I've been listening to Whoosh Radio. You know, really great songs on that. I mean, Simon's got great taste in music, and I mean, it's been so fun. Like his enthusiasm for it's like amazing.
He's,
you know,
hilarious.
Oh my God, he's loving it. You know, and he's gone so deeply into, you know, into hunt for sort of contemporary music in a long, long time. So he's been getting a lot of energy from that. So that's been good.
Yeah, that's been good. And he lives to catch all my mispronouncements each week. It's his new sport. So
nice.
So that's been fun. I'm going to check out. I like Jason Sudeikis, so I'm going to check that out. And as I said, except Brian is watching some weird cult thing on that Nexium cult.
Oh, yeah, I want to watch that too. But Brian,
yeah.
But Brian will love this.
Yeah,
he will love it. It's like you guys will. It's such a laugh. Hey, remember laughing.
Yeah, barely. But yeah, we start watching old movies, but not old to us, but old to the kids. Like, you know, Big or what's that one with the with Tom Hanks when the girl's the mermaid?
That's Splash.
Flex, exactly, and Mrs. Doubtfire, and those things, such sweet movies.
Yeah.
Really, anyway. So thank you so much for taking the time in our cafe. Believe it or not, we'll probably have you back around Christmas, which is just 3 short months away.
Yeah.
I know, it's hard to see.
3 long months away.
Yeah, 3 long. Exactly. Yeah. But thank you so much, and continued good everything. Keep those spirits up and those, you know, and that smoke away. And we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Great. Real pleasure. Thanks, Katie.
All right. Take care, JT.
Bye.